analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, it's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but we're doing it in chronological order as it happened. Most people don't know the Bible is not written in chronological order. It's written the longest book to the shortest book. So we're doing this in the order that it happened, and it makes a whole lot more sense. So today, we're picking up the story of Joseph. He's had two sons born. He's been in Egypt, and all of a sudden, he's been promoted, and he's the second most powerful man on the face of the planet. Pharaoh's put him in charge of everything because it's been a great famine, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Joseph, you had to handle all of it, and so Egypt actually become very wealthy in a very bad time because they'd stored up grain. So the whole world was starving. They were coming to Egypt to get grain. So around chapter 42, this is when Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt. He said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we're going to die." Now, that's getting serious, man. So in verse 3, Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, go with them for fear somebody might harm him. So Jacob's sons arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Since Joseph was governor of all Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all people, it was to him that the brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where are you from?" he demanded. "Well, we're from the land of Canaan," they replied. "We've come here to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. He remembered the dreams he had had about them many years before. He said to them, "You're spies. You come to see how vulnerable we are and how our land has become." "No, my lord," they exclaimed. "Your servants are simply coming to buy food. We're all brothers, members of the same family. We are honest men, sir. We are not spies." "Yes, you are," Joseph insisted. "You are come to see how vulnerable we are and how our land has become." "Sir," they said, "there are actually 12 of us. We, your servants, are all brothers, sons of a man living in the land of Canaan. Our youngest brother is back there with our father right now, and one of our brothers is no longer with us." But Joseph insisted, "As I said, you are spies. And this is how I will test your story. I swear by the life of Pharaoh, you will never leave Egypt unless your younger brother comes here. One of you must go and get your brother. I'll keep the rest here in prison. Then we'll find out whether or not your story is true. By the life of Pharaoh, it turns out you don't have a younger brother, then I'll know you're spies." So Joseph put all of them in prison for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "I am a God-fearing man. If you do as I say, you will live. If you really are honest men, choose one of your brothers to remain in prison. The rest of you may go home with grain for your starving families. But you must bring your youngest brother back to me. This will prove that you're telling the truth and you will not die." To this they agreed. Speaking among themselves, they said, "Clearly, we're being punished because of what we did to Joseph." I mean, everybody feels guilty. I don't know who you are. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. If you ever done something wrong, he will remind you every day of your life. That's why you get to repent, forgive every day of your life. Get that thing off of it. They remember what happened to Joseph long ago. "We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we're in this trouble. Didn't I tell you that not to sin against the boy," Reuben said, "but you wouldn't listen. And now we have to answer for his blood." Of course, they didn't know that Joseph understood them, for he had been speaking to them through an interpreter. Now he turned about from them and began to weep. When he regained his composure, he spoke to them again. Then he chose Simeon from among them who had lied, and he had fled before their eyes. Joseph then ordered his servants to fill the men's sacks with grain, but he gave the secret instructions to return each brother's payment in the top of his sack. He also gave them supplies for their journey home. So their brothers loaded their donkeys, the grain, and headed home. But when they stopped for the night, one of them spread open a sack of the grain for his donkey and found the money in the top of the sack. "Look, look," he exclaimed to the brothers, "my money has been returned. It's here in my sack." Then their hearts sank, trembling. They said to each other, Why has God done this to us? When the brothers came through their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan, they told him everything that had happened to them. The man who's governor of the land spoke harshly to us. And he told us, he accused us of being spies, scouting out the land. But we said, we're honest men. We're not spies. We are 12 brothers and sons of one father. One brother is no longer among us, and the youngest is at home of the father in the land of Canaan. Then the man who is governor of the land said to us, then I'll find out if you're honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take your grain to your starving families. Go home, but you must bring your youngest brother back to me. Then I will know you're honest men and not spies. Then I will give back your brother, and you may trade freely in the land. As they emptied their sacks, there in each man's sack was the bag of money he had paid for the grain. The brothers and the father were terrified when they saw the bags of money. Jacob exclaimed, you are robbing me of my children. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. Now you want to take Benjamin too. Everything is going against me. Reuben said to the father, listen, you may kill my two sons if I don't bring Benjamin back to you. I'll be responsible for him. I promise to bring him back. But Jacob replied, my son will not go down with you. His brother Joseph is dead. He is all I have left. If anything should happen to him on your journey, you would send this grieving, white-haired man to his grave. But the famine continued to ravage the land of Canaan. When the grain they had brought back from Egypt was almost gone, Jacob said to his sons, go back, buy us a little more food. But Judah said, the man was serious when he warned us. You won't see my face again unless your brother's with you. If you send Benjamin with us, we will go down and buy more food. If you don't let Benjamin go, we won't go either. Remember, the man said, you will not see my face again unless your brother's with you. Why were you so cruel to me? Jacob mourned. Why? Why did you tell him you had another brother? The man kept asking the questions about our family, they replied. He asked, is your father still alive? Do you have another brother? We answered his questions. How can we know what he would say? Bring your brother down here. Judah said to his father, send the boy with me. We will be on our way. Otherwise, we will all die of starvation. And not only we, but our little ones as well. I personally guarantee his safety. You may hold me responsible if I don't bring him back to you. Please let me bear blame forever. If we hadn't wasted all this time, we could have gone and returned you twice by now. So the father Jacob finally said to them, if it can't be avoided, then at least do this. Pack your bags with the best products of the land. Take them down to the man as gifts. Balm, honey, gum, aromatic resin, pistachio nuts, almonds. Also take double money that was put back in your sacks, as it probably is someone's mistake. May God Almighty give you mercy as you go before this man, so that he will release Simeon. Let Benjamin return. But if I lose my children, so be it. Then the men packed Jacob's gifts and doubled the money and headed off to with Benjamin. They finally arrived in Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the manager of his household, those men will eat with me this noon. Take them inside the palace, then slaughter an animal and prepare a big feast. So the men did as Joseph told them. They took Joseph's paste to the palace. The brothers were terrified. When they saw they were being taken to Joseph's house, it's because of the money someone put in our sacks. The last time we were here, they said, he plans to pretend that we stole it. He will seize us. He will make us slaves. He will take our donkeys. The brothers approached the manager of Joseph's household and spoke to him in the entrance of the palace. Sir, when we came to Egypt before to buy food, we were returning home. We stopped for the night and we opened our sacks. Then we discovered that each man's money, the exact amount paid, was at the top of a sack. Here it is. We brought it back with us. We've also added additional money to buy more food. We have no idea who put the money back in the sacks. Relax. Don't be afraid, household manager told them. Your God, the God of your father, must have put treasure in your sacks. I know I received your payment. Then he released Simeon and brought them to his home. The manager let the men in Joseph's palace. He gave them water to wash their feet, provided food for their donkeys. They were told they would be eating there to prepare gifts for Joseph's arrival soon. When Joseph came home, they gave him the gifts they had brought with them. They bowed low to the ground before him. After greeting him, they asked, "How's your father?" The man spoke about, "Is he still alive?" "Yes," they replied. "Our father, your servant, is alive and well." And they bowed low again. Then Joseph looked at his brother Benjamin, the son of his own mother. "Is this your younger brother, the one you told me about?" Joseph asked. "May God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried to the room because he was overcome with emotion for his brother. He went into the private room. He broke down and he wept. After washing his face, he came back, keeping himself under control. Then he ordered, "Bring out the food." The waiter served Joseph at his table, and his brothers were served at a separate table. The Egyptians who ate with Joseph sat at their own table because Egyptians despised Hebrews and refused to eat with them. Joseph told each of his brothers where to sit. And to their amazement, he seated them according to age, from oldest to youngest. And Joseph filled their plates with food from their own table. Benjamin, 5 times as much he gave as the others. So they feasted and they drank freely with him. When his brothers were ready to leave, Joseph gave these instructions to his palace manager: "Fill each sack with as much grain as they can carry. Put each man's money back into his sack. Then put my personal silver cup the top of the youngest brother's sack, along with the money for grain." So the manager did as Joseph instructed him. The brothers were up at dawn. They went out on a journey. They loaded their donkeys. But when they had gone only a short distance, you got to imagine this. When they'd only gone a short distance, chase after them and stop them. When they catch up with them, ask them, "Why have you repaid my kindness with such evil? Why have you stolen my master's cup? Which he uses to predict the future? What wicked thing have you done?" When the palace manager caught up with the men, he spoke to them as he'd been instructed. "What are you talking about?" the brothers said. "We are your servants. We would never do such a thing. Didn't we return the money we put in our sacks? We brought it back all the way from the land of Canaan. Why are we still silver and gold from your master's house? If you find this cup with any of us, let that man die. All the rest of us, my lord, will be your slaves." "That's fair," the man replied. "But only the one who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you will go free." They all quickly took their sacks from the backs of their donkeys. They opened them up, and the palace manager searched the brother's sack, from the oldest to the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. When the brothers saw this, they tore their clothes in despair. Then they loaded their donkeys with grain and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the palace when Judah and his brothers arrived. They fell to the ground before him. "What have you done?" Joseph demanded. "Don't you know that a man like me can predict the future?" Judah answered, My Lord, what can we say to you? How can we explain this? How can we prove our innocence? God is punishing us for our sins. My Lord, we have returned to be your slaves. Not all of us, just as our brother who had your cup is back." "No," Joseph said, "I would never do such a thing. Only the man who stole my cup will be my slave. The rest of you must go to your father in peace." Oh, man, you can imagine people are having a panic attack. Then Judah stepped forward and said, "Please, my Lord, let your servant say just one word to you. Please do not be angry with me, even though you are as powerful as Pharaoh himself. My Lord, perhaps you ask about your servants. Do you have a father or a brother?" And we responded, "Yes, Lord, we have a father, who is an old man, and his youngest son is a child of his old age. His full brother is dead. He's alone left with his mother's children, and the father loves him very much. And you said this, 'Bring him here so I can see him with my own eyes.' But we said to you, 'My Lord, the boy cannot leave father, for his father would die.' But you told us, 'Unless the youngest brother comes back, you will never see my face again.' So we returned to your servant, our father, and we told him. And he said, 'Listen, later you go back and buy more food.' We replied, 'We cannot go back unless the youngest brother is with us. We will never see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' And our father said, 'As you know, my wife had 2 sons. One of them went away and never returned. Doubtless, he is torn to pieces by some wild animal. I will never see him. Just now you've taken the younger brother away from me. And any harm that comes to him, he will send his grieving, white-haired man to his grave. And now, my Lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. If he sees the boy is not with us, our father will die. We, your servants, will indeed be responsible for sending that grieving white-haired man to his grave. My Lord, I guarantee you, my father, I would take care of the boy. I told him, if I cannot return back, I will bear the shame forever. So please, my Lord, let me stay here as a slave instead and not the boy. Let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I return to my father if the boy's not with me? I couldn't bear to see the anguish on my father's face. Now, that is an incredible story. You know, they actually made a great movie about this. And still out. You can still order it, still rent it. It's a great story about relationships. Now, God saw fit to put this story in the Holy Bible. There's only one Bible. Volume 2 is not coming out. God chose to put all this in here. And God's telling a story. And what he's trying to do is show how relationships work. God loves humans. God sent a son to earth to die for humans. God raised a son from the dead for humans. God's son sits at his right hand in heaven right now, ever living to make intercession for all the saints. That's who God is. God loves us. God's not trying to kill us off. He's trying to save us. But he's got a story he's following, and he won't cheat. He doesn't lie, and he won't pull up short. So without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you can't whip the devil. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing what? Stories like I just told right now. Stories how God's loyal, God's faithful, but God's trying to get us to do what's right. God knows our heart. You can't cheat. You can't pull up short. God knows. The Bible says God knows your thought before you think it. You know, people say, God doesn't know what I'm thinking. Yes, he does. And they're recording angels writing it down. You will never think anything that you won't give an account for. That's why the Bible says this. Think on these things. Whatever's lovely, honest, just, praise them, the good report. Think on these things. Don't think on other things. You're supposed to control your thought life. Don't let thoughts bounce around your head like a ping pong ball on a concrete floor. Don't do that. Think good things. What you think is what you'll do. We've learned a lot today. We're going to pick this story up again next week. God bless. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.